Matthias Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Matthias Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Matthias Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Plain Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 25th, 2016. Or 17. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. You don't know how many people call and they go, and I just get blank error. They don't say anything. And I know sometimes with the house phone, you think, well, maybe it'll get to the phone and they'll answer it. Okay. But on my cell phone, when it gets to the leave a message part, I'm not hearing it. So please leave a message with your phone number if you want me to call you back. You can always find update. Oh, and the phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which you spit it out, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Remember, prayer requests can also be sent via United States Postal Service and by email with your return address and your phone number to call you back. These requests will be taken to Wichita Mission Church, anointed with oil, prayed over, and sent back to you, if you wish, at your request, with no solicitation for donations. We lose your address. Now, remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, and live also on YouTube. I know a lot of people that just don't want to listen to anything unless it's on YouTube. Well, we're live on YouTube right now, and it will archive to YouTube tomorrow afternoon about 5 o'clock. And we're also on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime, because airtime isn't free. Remember, this radio program sells nothing. So it's only people like you that's kept us on the air. On another note, let's thank our listener bases worldwide in places like Croatia, Vienna, Australia, Managua, Nicaragua, Mexico, Madrid, Spain, Oslo, Norway, and of course, cities in the good old USA such as Mesa, Arizona, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Seattle, Washington, Plano, Texas, Town and Country, Florida, Washington, D.C., which they really keep increasing up there. Some weeks they're almost as high as our Wichita, Kansas listeners, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. And I've said it many times, we're on satellite and being live, I have no idea how many people are listening now, but I imagine it's a lot. Now, for a prayer, we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, this country seems to be going, when we think this country is going in the right direction, it seems to be going in the wrong direction. Father, we need your wisdom to sort it out, and so I pray that you put the right spirit and answers in our guest tonight and give everybody out here ears in which to hear the truth. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, during the election process, remember, folks, I kept saying America had a choice to choose good or evil. It would seem that many prayed and voted, and we didn't, and I do believe it was because of prayer, that we didn't get the deep state, or like everyone, seems to call it, the New World Order or globalist bunch. actually, the people, they would welcome the Antichrist view. Anyway, moving on. Anyway, they all thought they was going to win because of a rigged election. But now there are many complaining because President Trump is not doing this or that. Is it really his fault? Or is it just too late for America? Is America being judged by the economy and so many other things? Well, tonight, we decided to bring on author, bloggist, talk radio program host, Michael Snyder, to come on with us and try some light on these things. He's been on with us many times before, talking about many different things, including places of refuge, and his book, The Rapture Verdict. And yes, that's who I'm talking about, is Michael T. Snyder. He's several blogs, and he has several blogs, and called, and two of them are the Economic Collapse blog, which is probably the most famous, and the most important news, or the most important thing. And I think he's really trying to transition over to that. But anyway, he's appeared on Bible Prophecy TV programs such as Jim Baker, the Jim Baker program. Seems like he's been all over the country. So let's welcome now Michael Snyder. Are you there with us, Michael?
I'm here, Pastor Dan. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. And you know what, if I just looked at what you put out, you know, on the economic collapse or the other one, I pretty well keep up with everything that's going wrong. And you definitely have something to say about it all.
Well, thank you, Pastor Dan. You know, I believe that we're supposed to try to be lights in our society. We're supposed to impact people the best way that we can. And, you know, in biblical times, for example, the Apostle Paul, he would go, you know, when he went to Athens, he went to the, you know, town square where everyone was discussing and exchanging the new ideas, you know. But for us, where do people exchange ideas? Where do people discuss things? Where is kind of the town square of today? Well, it's the internet. That's where people are at. People are always looking on their phones. They're always on their computers. They're always on the internet. So the internet is where the marketplace of ideas. It's where people are exchanging their views on things, and it's where we can engage the culture is through the internet. And so I've been doing that for quite a long time, you know, about putting out these articles, writing, trying to make a difference for the kingdom of God. And so I'm just trying to do the best that I can.
Well, amen. You're doing an excellent job. In fact, your commentaries, you know, some of the same articles that I see you write commentaries on, you know, I've just been putting out links to the articles mostly, but you put commentary out about them, which is very, very explanatory, easily understood. And, you know, I don't see a lot of you know, you do it in a way that there's not a lot to argue. Back to you.
Yeah. Oh, it's true, Pastor Dan. Like, I just wrote today an article about, there's this new undercover video that just came out from the Center for Medical Progress, and what they did, they took their undercover camera into a couple of annual conventions of the National Abortion Federation, and what they captured in this new video, which is out on YouTube and on Facebook too, but what they captured in this video was abortionists actually joking about the difficulties and how gruesome it was in when they had to abort these babies, about what they would, you know, about how when the skull would crack, it was really sharp, or the perhaps the most disturbing was one of the abortionists during a panel discussion joked about an eyeball rolling into her lap, you know, and you know, this is the eye of a precious little child. But this is, you know, this is the kind of thing that's going on in our country. And in this video, once again, there is discussion about how they try very hard to get, you know, the baby parts out so they can sell them off for a profit. And, you know, and that's what's happening every day, and particularly in Planned Parenthood clinics all over the country, where abortionists, they're tearing babies limb from limb, they're harvesting their organs, and they're selling them off to the highest bidder. It's the kind of thing that you would expect to hear about in Nazi Germany, but it's happening in the United States of America today, where since Roe versus Wade was decided in 1973, nearly 60 million children have been murdered in this country. And our politicians don't seem to care. You know, we've had the rallies, we've had the marches, we've had the protests, we've written letters, we've put up websites. on and on the pro-life community has tried to get their attention. I know, you know, back when I was younger and living on the East Coast, you know, I've been to the March for Life in Washington, D.C. I protested, you know, outside of, you know, where the Clintons were appearing, you know, back in the old days. You know, we've tried to get the attention, but it's like they're not listening to us.
Right.
But we've gotten to the point where if these crimes against humanity don't stop, and that's what's happening, there are crimes against humanity that are being happening every day in abortion clinics all over the country, at Planned Parenthood clinics all over the country, and the federal government is funding it to the tune of approximately $500 million a year, giving a giant stamp of approval to the abortion holocaust happening at these Planned Parenthood abortion mills. And you know what? So many of these Republicans, Pastor Dan, are campaigning. They say, oh, I'm conservative. They say, I'm pro-life. And they campaign using a pro-life label, and we give them our money, we give them our votes, then they go to Washington, D.C. and vote to keep funding Planned Parenthood. Well, you know, I've had about enough of that. From now on, I'm not going to let any politician get away with saying they're pro-life than voting to fund Planned Parenthood. That's got to stop, because the blood of 60 million children is crying out from the ground, crying out for justice. And the judgment of God will come to this country if we continue to kill children like we have been.
Okay, very good point. Number one, to me, every abortion is like a sacrifice to Satan, the devil, you know, or to Moloch, so to speak. Let's go with this. You know, number one, with just what you just said, if every Christian heard that or knew that, and I can't see how they wouldn't know that, so to speak, because all the media that's out there, unless they're just ignoring it, you know, and whatever, but would not be sick at their stomach, and we should be. But a bigger thing, don't you think that our Father is getting pretty sick of that?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch the last part of that, Pastor Dan.
Don't you think our Father, you know, our Heavenly Father is sick of that?
I completely agree. Our Father is horrified by the death of all these children. I mean, you look at the Holocaust in Nazi Germany, which was, you know, horrible beyond anything that anyone would ever want to think about or imagine, where 6 million Jewish people and many others were slaughtered in Nazi Germany. Well, we've killed almost 60 million now today, and it amazes me that God has not already brought horrific judgment on this country, and it may already be too late. I don't know, but we need to repent as soon as possible. Turn from doing this. It's not enough just to say you're pro-life. We've got to stop funding this. We've got to stop doing this, because the sins have reached, you know, our Father in heaven, and he's looking down on this, and the fact that he's had patience and mercy for so long and has not brought the end of America just amazes me. And so he's given us this time, but instead of turning, we continue with our wicked ways.
Amen. Two things. Number one, is, you know, when it talks about Babylon in Revelation, you know, Mystery Babylon, there's a part about it, it talks about in her was found the blood of the saints. You know what? These children, folks, you need to understand this. Every one of these children that haven't even been out of the womb, you had better consider them saints, because they haven't had a chance to be a devil, and that's for sure. So these children are saints, and the blood of the saints is on America. Number two, you know, we elected President Trump, and this is kind of what I wanted to talk to Michael about. We elected President Trump. Trump wants to do some things, but he doesn't have people behind him, and we should quit complaining about, oh, he's not doing this or that or the other, and do something about it. We need to do something about it. We need to stand up and let our politicians be heard, or maybe be a politician. Back to you.
Yeah, Pastor Dan, I completely agree, because, you know, a lot of people are wondering, well, when is President Trump going to do all the things that he's talking about? Well, you know, he, for example, he wants to build a border wall, but not only are Democrats blocking him in Congress, but Republicans are blocking him. It's the same thing with defunding Planned Parenthood. I greatly applaud President Trump because he just proposed a budget that would completely defund Planned Parenthood. And I completely applaud him for that. But there's members of Congress, of course, the Democrats, but even Republicans. Republicans are saying, we're not going to go along with this. We're not going to agree with this. And so they are saying it's going to be no-go. In particular, in the Senate, you've got Senator Susan Collins from Maine, Lisa Murkowski from Alaska. You've got Senator Dean Heller from Nevada. They're saying, no, we're not going to go with this. We're going to block this. And so President Trump, you know, he just can't. You know, he's not a dictator. He just can't get whatever he wants. He's going to have Congress to go along with him. So what we need, you know, we got President Trump elected last time. Now in 2018, we need to get a whole lot of friends for President Trump in order to get these things done. And so, Pastor Dan, I know that you know this, but I'll share it with the audience. You know, I'm very strongly considering running for Congress in 2018 here in Idaho. And the reason why there's such an opportunity here is because the Raul Labrador is the current member of Congress here, and he's not running next time because he's going to run for governor of Idaho. So there's no incumbent right now in Idaho and no obvious name to fill that seat. And so it's going to be filled by someone, either a Democrat or they're talking about some establishment Republicans from the state Senate, but no one that's really strongly pro-life, no one that's really strongly conservative. And so, you know, I could sit back and wait for someone else to step forward, someone who's good. And this is what we've done as conservatives, as Christians, as pro-life community for years. We sat back and waited for someone else to step forward, someone else to try to change things. But,
right.
You know, it's time for us to step forward. It's time for us to step forward and say, hey, we're not going to vote for any politician that's going to vote to fund Planned Parenthood at any point in the future, which some Republicans have been doing for years and years and years, and they've been getting away with it, and then they come back to us for our votes every single time. But it's time, you know, for me, I'm going to make a pledge that I will never vote for any bill. If I run and if I win, I'm never going to vote for any bill that includes even a single penny of funding for Planned Parenthood. And if we could get every Republican to take that pledge, every Republican running for the House, well, Planned Parenthood would be defunded automatically because no bill that funds Planned Parenthood could ever get through the House of Representatives, and the Republicans are expected to retain control in 2018. So if we could just do that, We, you know, if the voters, if conservative voters took this into their own hands and said, well, we're not going to vote for anyone unless they'll agree to this, we could automatically defund Planned Parenthood. But it's a matter of our willingness to do this, to quit voting for fake Republicans, fake conservatives, fake pro-life people, and say, hey, we're going to take back the Republican Party. We're going to take a stand. And, you know, and as far as pro-life, the politicians haven't listened to all of our marches, all of our rallies, all of our efforts. So now, why don't we go in and why don't we take control of Congress ourselves? Because, you know, if you look at the scriptures, oh, go ahead, Pastor Dan.
I just said amen. Go. I'm listening to you. I want the people to listen to you. Go on, please.
Yeah, if you look at the scriptures, if you look at, for example, the prophets in the Old Testament, prophets like Jeremiah or throughout, almost all the prophets, where did they prophesy from? They prophesied from the capital city. They prophesied from Jerusalem. They prophesied to the kings and the rulers. They were at the center of power, and they pronounced judgment. They warned about what was coming from the center of power, and you know, right to the kings, right to the leaders. And so, and of course, you know, everyone has their own roles in life, their own callings. But personally, God has put it on my heart that maybe it's time to move on to another platform where, you know, if God opens this door, where I could proclaim the truth about judgment coming on America, about abortion, about the gay agenda, about all these things we're concerned about right from the halls of power in Washington, D.C. You know, I don't know what's going to come of this because there's no guarantees in life. I mean, you go back to the Revolutionary War. There are no guarantees for our forefathers when they picked up arms against the British that they could defeat the British Empire. In fact, a lot of people said, hey, you're absolutely crazy to try to fight the dominant empire in the world, the British Empire. You're going to fight them and get your independence? No, you're all going to die. Well, there were no guarantees they would win, but they stepped out in faith and they did it and they won our independence. And throughout American history, there have always been times when people have had to step forward and say, hey, I'm going to put myself on the line. I'm going to try. I'm going to defend liberty and freedom. I'm going to try to do something. And many bled and died in wars such as World War I, World War II, other wars. But throughout American history, there's always been people willing to step up and defend freedom and liberty and fight for this country. And now it's time for our generation. And if we don't stand up now, there's not going to be a future for this country, because the judgment of God is going to come if we keep aborting all these babies. The judgment of God is going to come if we keep going down with the gay agenda and the transgender agenda. You know, there's not going to be any future for this country if we keep piling up the debt. You know, we're $20 trillion in debt, Pastor Dan. And you know what? We gave the Republicans control of the House of Representatives in the 2010 elections, the Tea Party Revolution. So they took control in January 2011. The debt was just over $14 trillion, and we gave them the mandate to control government spending. And now it's up to $20 trillion in debt. They haven't done their job. You know, we need a revolution in Washington, D.C., because this country is hanging by a thread. We're going to lose the republic that our forefathers once founded, that they worked so hard to build, that so many generations of Americans have fought and died for and worked so hard for. We're going to lose it all if we don't do something now.
Amen. And, you know, and while we were coming up to the election, that's what I kept saying to the people, that we needed to do something now. And in essence, you know, that was to get Trump voted in. But we got him voted in. But it's time. He needs help. He needs people. People need to stand up. I mean, you can't sit here. If you just sit and keep watching, amen, like that, go to work and work hard and come home, watch football, play with the kids, watch a little bit of news, go to church, whatever. But it's sacrifice. You know, the word says that there is no greater thing than a man lay down his life for his brother. And we need to do this. If you want America to survive, even until, you know, Yeshua comes or the tribulation actually starts, who knows? But you need to stand up. We may, even if we stand up, we may not be successful, but it will matter to the Father, and that's what matters. We need to not be hypocritical and condemn those that aren't doing it. We need to get off and do it ourselves. Anyway, we're coming up on about a minute before break, Michael. Why don't you tell them where to find you and what they can find there?
Yeah, my primary website that I'm known for is theeconomiccollapseblog.com, or just go to Google and type in The Economic Collapse. It's mainly focused on economic and financial issues there. And I've also got themostimportantnews.com, where you can find all my articles in one place, and I cover some other issues in addition. You know, that's where you'll find my new article that I was just talking about, the new undercover abortion video that just came out. You can find it right on there. And then if you go to Amazon and type in Michael Snyder, all my books will come up. The Rapture Verdict, which is my latest book, my earlier books. And so you can find all of my books there on Amazon.com.
Yes, amen. And your wife has a Facebook page and a page, I guess it's a blog, where I like it because there's a whole bunch of people. She has a bunch of prophecies about America, you know what I'm saying, by different prophetic people. And so that's a real good website. Okay,
yeah.
Folks. Go ahead. We gotta go. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Okay.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to the Science Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, remember, support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. People, you know, like men, women, children from all walks of life, they come to us, really, in all walks of life. Some of you would be amazed at the type of people that come. You, not all of them are even dead broke, because some people that come to us come for simply prayers. But anyway, my heart's pretty heavy, and I mentioned this in the last program, but I'm going to mention it again. And I don't know. I'll just share it with you, and we'll talk about it in a moment. You know, we received work last week that one of the options for women in the city of Wichita just got much, much worse. You see, they opened a new walk-in shelter about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, and they just took women in, you know what I mean? And that's what was needed, a walk-in shelter, although it didn't have enough beds, but it was, you know. Anyway, so it's closed. And so now, if a woman goes homeless in Wichita, yeah, there are a few other family shelters and a few women's shelters out there, but they're always, always, always overflowing. I think in the last 17 years, I've only been able to find maybe one or two beds in one of those places, because they're always full. And that's just the way it is. There needs to be a walk-in shelter for women. And so I want you to pray with me that somebody that has money in Wichita will open one. Now, you say, well, why don't you do it, Pastor Dan? Well, Pastor Dan doesn't have the funding that it takes to do it. You know, we don't even have a building for that right now. So, but we want prayers for the women of Wichita. That's what I want. And I mean, you know, come on. There's so many women I've seen that they would have just had a chance. They lost a job or got kicked out of a house or got in a fight with her husband or whatever. And they came to the street, and they wasn't a bad person. They wasn't a drug addict. They wasn't a prostitute. And some of them just flat disappear, and their families come looking for them, and they can never, ever find them again. And some, they find them, or they come back to me a couple of months or a year later, and they've been in prostitution and had kids, and now they're crack addicts. You know, this doesn't have to happen, let alone when there is as much money as there is in Wichita. And it goes to the church. They have a church. There's so many churches in Wichita that could put this together and do it. These people that have mega buildings in Wichita, Kansas. Now I'm getting upset. Have mega buildings in Wichita, Kansas. Look, when they have two different services on Sunday, and they, you know how much goes in that donation place when they have thousands of people in these big buildings? And one donation plate would probably fund a shelter. That's what you want to talk about judgment. I am glad I'm not a mega church. Well, if I was a mega church, it would be outside most of the time looking for sinners. Anyway, but pray for these women. Pray that the Father can do anything. Have him work on somebody's heart over there and do something about it, because my heart's broken. But what can we do? What can Messiah's Branch do beyond get you to pray and pray about it? You know, we ask for prayers for these women, and give us the means in order to give them the things they need to exist outside, at least for a little while. We need blankets. They don't even give out emergency blankets in Wichita, Kansas anymore. And we have about five blankets laying in my office. That's it. They're going to be gone in a blink when we open up tomorrow. First aid things. We need first aid things, sleeping bags, anything you need for sleeping outside. Do I have to beg you? We also need large print King James Bible and hygiene things. You like walking, you folks that put on deodorant every day, do you think you try not putting it on for 5 days and don't take a bath because you couldn't have, and then see what you smell like. We need hygiene problems. You know, the poor need what you need. They really do. And I'm sorry, I'm not mad at you folks that are on here. I'm just so frustrated seeing all these mega churches and all these people walking in all dressed up and nice and everything, which you should try to look your best for the Father. But, you know, and they dump all the money into these churches. That, what are they doing? What are they doing for the poor? Oh, we send missions overseas. Really? You send missions overseas? What about these people right outside your door? Do you think you won't be judged for that? Anyway. Also, okay, I'll calm down. Remember, June 1st starts our 18th year, and we're praying to do a large cookout for the people to celebrate. In order to do this, we need to raise $2,000 or $3,000, but, you know, so pray that it happens, or somebody comes forward and sponsors it. likely out of Wichita, Kansas. Anyway, pray about a donation for the Wichita Ministry Church to help the homeless and poor. And yes, the homeless, of course, are poor, but we're talking about the poor people that also come in from all over the city looking for things they need because they don't make enough money. You see, the Wichita Mission Church is one of the, is in one of the worst places of where the worst of the worst is. And I mean, even Yeshua came to the lost. What more could I do? I mean, that's where he was at. He didn't go to heal the unbroken. He went to heal the broken. We are called to evangelize people, to bring them into the assembly, not sit in an assembly and wait for them to come to you. On that note, please, just pray about it. We need first aid items and just general donations. Okay, and so folks, remember, we are the last hope for so many, and that means you too. You are the last hope for so many. We are responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers' keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't help, want to help with the poor, then consider a donation for this radio airtime because you've been listening to this program, a lot of you, for a long time. Pray about supporting it. That's how we stay on the air. Now, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you're going to find all this information at ProphecyHour.com. ProphecyHour.com. And there's a lot of you folks out there on a call of remembrance to us. Remember, you said that you were called to support us. Well, then, you know, did the Father change your mind, or did you just forget? Anyway, pray about it, and now we're back on with a better note with Michael Snyder. There with me, Michael.
I'm here, Pastor Dan, and, you know, I just want to also encourage everyone to support the incredible work that you do because, you know, those that care about the most vulnerable members of our society, whether it's the homeless, the children, the unborn, you know, those are really that are working, toward the heart of God. You know, like you said, you've got all these mega churches out there. They don't even want to talk about abortion. They don't want to talk about the right. gay agenda. They don't want to offend anyone. They don't want to deal with the homeless, you know, because they're poor and dirty. You know, they don't want to get their hands dirty, you know. So, but, you know, I was a financial supporter of Pastor Dan in the ministry there ever before anybody ever knew who I was or before I became well-known or became a guest on the show. But it's because we believed in Pastor Dan, and I was listening to the radio program, and we support the radio airtime and the homeless ministry there. And so I just encourage everyone else to do so as well because, you know, we all need to do what we can, whether it's, you know, on the internet, whether it's at a homeless shelter, whether it's in politics or in whether it's, say, in our communities. You know, we all have a way that we can make a difference, that we can give, that we can put ourselves out there, and we need to do it because, you know, we don't want to just love with words, but we want to live with deeds, with actions, you know, and yeah. as the book of James talks about.
Yeah, amen. Action, and that's right, the book of James, and, you know, faith is dead being alone by itself. You got to have it works with it. But let me say one more thing, and I'm going to let you talk. I just a little wrapped up. You know, we were talking about President Trump, and President Trump said before the election that he would make it to where, you know, there's so many preachers that are afraid to speak out in the church, you know, about these different issues because they'll either lose their 501(c) or they would go to jail for it or whatever. Okay, well, he signed an order telling the IRS to back off of them and allow them to speak. So this is to the pastors. Pastors, there's no covering for you anymore to be quiet. You have no excuse. You need to stand up, and you need to talk about the gay agenda. You need to talk about abortion, because how will your flock know? They listen to you. They listen to their leader. That's part of that's why they come to church. They come, and they sit down in the assembly, and they want to listen to your message. And if you're not telling them to do it, there's a strong chance that they're going to think, well, if it was important, the pastor would tell me. And pastors, if you're not telling them, if you're not telling the sheep and you know better, the blood is on your hands and your head and your heart. Back to you, and I'll be quiet, Michael.
Oh, I completely agree with you, Pastor Dan. The reason why so many Christians in America today don't think abortion is important is because the pastors aren't talking about abortion. The reason so many Christians in America today are not really concerned about the gay agenda is because the pastors aren't putting an emphasis on that. Everyone just wants to have happy church where they tell people that everything's going to be wonderful, that blessings are coming, that they're about to get their breakthrough, but they never talk about sin, they never talk about hell, they never talk about judgment, and they, of course, they never want to go and, you know, talk about the law or the commandments or the God's righteous requirements, you know, because all they want to talk about is happy things, making people feel good, prosperity, blessing, how wonderful everything's going to be. So people don't understand that we're in sin. People don't understand that judgment's coming to America. People don't understand that God is a holy God and that he's looking down on America and he's not happy and that he sees the 60 million dead children. He sees rampant sexual immorality. He sees more than 60% of all Christian men, various surveys have shown, in the church, more than 60% of all men in the church are use pornography on a regular basis. He sees, God sees all these things, and he's been patient with us, and he's been trying to warn us, but the churches are silent, the churches are, so many of them are dead and sleeping, and that's why there's a need for people like me and you, Pastor Dan, because most churches in America have failed at their job.
Yeah. Amen. And that's the point. And the blood will be on, and the blood will be on them. It goes back to that, doesn't it go back to Ezekiel 33:6 where they talk about the watchman?
Oh, it absolutely does. You know, in that chapter of Ezekiel, it says, hey, if you see what's coming and you don't warn the people, the blood's going to be on your hands. But if you do warn the people, then you're not going to have responsibility. But, you know, and who knows, you know, what's coming for America, whether we can turn things around or not. But we need to warn. We need to be telling the truth and telling people to repent. Because the prophets in the Old Testament, they didn't just give up. They warned people to repent, to turn back to God all the way up to the very end. They were preaching about sin. They were preaching about how, you know, that people were going after other gods, so sacrificing their children to idols. And they said, stop it. God is warning you. And they warned up to the very end. And we need to be trying to win souls up to as long as we can, as long as we have breath in our bodies. We need to be preaching the truth for as long as we can. And I wish there were thousands of others. I wish the warning message and the truth about sin and that was you know, sounding out from thousands of pulpits all across America every Sunday, but unfortunately, it's not happening.
No, it isn't. And faith is an action word, and I want to share just a short scripture with us, Michael, if you don't mind. James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you not give them the things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, if a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. Devils also believe and tremble. But thou wilt know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. If you believe these things, folks, then your supposed faith means get up and act. Just like Michael said, he's thinking about sacrificing his life, and he's in a good place. Michael, you're in a good place. Your Bible prophecy, your program, your ask all over the place. It would be a sacrifice to go to Washington and do the things you're doing and want to do. Because why? You believe it's right. And I know that you're praying about it and haven't made a decision, but you're doing, given the right message, and it's sacrifice. The Father is looking for living sacrifices. That's what it's all about. It isn't your life once you become saved. It's His life. He's supposed to live in you. So what is the matter with you? You're supposed to lay your life down for your brethren. You're supposed to stand up for the ways of Yahweh. You're supposed to stand against abortion. You're supposed to stand against the blood in the street. You're supposed to stand against these other gods that people are becoming friends with and say, oh, I've got five people I know that are Muslim. Well, really? Well, how come you haven't converted them? Anyway, I'm sorry, Michael. I don't want to take away your time with the program. Back to you.
Oh, I love when you get fired up, Pastor Dan, because we're supposed to be passionate. We're supposed to be the most passionate people of all, because the scriptures tell us we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're supposed to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And so somewhere along the line, if we're supposed to love the God with everything inside of us, that's going to involve some emotion. So, you know, I love when people get emotional, because we're supposed to be emotional about these things. And as you mentioned, yeah, my wife and I are in a good place right now. We love our home in the mountains, and I love what I do now. I get to write and share with people all over the world, and you know, we're raising our little daughter, and we have a really great life here in the mountains of Idaho. And for so long I was like, wow, I my wife and I, we just want to stay here for as long as we can because we love it up here. But then not too long ago, God put it on my heart that said, I may be moving you into something else, and we're still praying about it, but I feel God strongly leading me in this direction. And you know what? God's always going to take us out of our comfort zones. Just when we think we're getting comfortable and satisfied in things, God's going to say, okay, I've got a new frontier for you. I've got something more for you, a new challenge ahead for you, something new for you to do, which may be harder than what you're already doing, but God gives us the strength and the grace to do it. And so, you know, but that's the way that God is. He's always moving us forward. And like you said, it's not our lives. So whatever God wants me to do, that's what I want to be doing. Whatever God wants Pastor Dan doing, that's what he wants to be doing. But we're here to do his will, not our will, but his will be done. And as you were... go ahead, Pastor Dan.
I just said amen.
Yeah, as you were bringing up some scriptures earlier, a scripture came up for me out of Matthew chapter 5. Starting in verse 17, it says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." This is Jesus talking here. He said, "For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus is saying that he's looking for people who are going to keep his commandments and preach his commandments, that we're supposed to teach others to do so. And in the book of Revelation, Revelation 12:17, Revelation 14:12, it says God is raising up a remnant in the last days that will keep his commandments and have the testimony of Yeshua. And so we're supposed to preach the righteous requirements of the law. We're supposed to preach against sin, because if people don't understand, they don't understand their need for a Savior. If people don't understand that America, our nation, is sinning and sinning greatly, they're not going to understand that judgment is coming, that this nation needs to repent. We've got to preach sin, because preaching about sin leads to repentance. Preaching about sin causes people to turn to God with all their hearts. All these preachers and pastors all over the country that refuse to preach about sin, in fact, there's television personalities that purposely avoid ever using the word sin because they don't want to offend anyone on their broadcast. But when we don't talk about sin, we rob from people the opportunity to repent, the opportunity to turn back to God, the opportunity to get saved. Because you don't know you need a Savior until you realize that you're a sinner. So we've got to preach the truth. We've got to preach the righteous requirements of the law so that people understand that they need Jesus, that they need to, that this nation needs to turn to God. The only way they're going to understand that is if we preach the truth.
Amen. How can they know unless a preacher preach it to them? That's the word, brother. That's the word. Back to you.
Oh, it is. It is. And so we need to stand up for the truth, and especially those of us that keep Torah, which you, Pastor Nan, it's me. You know, we give those commandments Jesus talked about, that we keep them. And, you know, and that's one of the reasons why there's so much sin in the church today, is because no one wants to even talk about commandments. No one even wants to mention the word law. Law has become a dirty word in the churches today, but really in the Hebrew, that word law means instructions. God has given us instructions for life, and when we follow them, things go well for us. When we go against them, things go badly. And, you know, in the scriptures, God tells us, he sets before us life and death, blessings and cursings. And so Jim Staley, one of my favorite teachers, he says that God's laws, God's instructions are the guardrails for life. And when we start to go off the path, those guardrails help keep us on the road. And God gives us those laws, those instructions for our good. And if we'll follow them, our lives will be so much better. And the same thing is true for our nation as well. So if we keep going the same way that we're going as a country, only death and destruction and judgment and the end of America are ahead. But if we'll turn back and follow God's righteous ways, then things will go good for our country. And, you know, so many people want to say, oh, separation of church and state, even though that's nowhere in our Constitution, but they want to get every shred of the Christian faith of the Bible out of government, out of public life. But the people who founded this country, they were men of faith. They talked openly about the Bible, about how their relationship with Jesus Christ, and that Christian principle should always be in our government because that's the only way that it was going to succeed. So if you go back and read what the Founding Fathers actually wrote, they talked about the absolute importance of God, of the Bible, of the Christian faith, and that, you know, it was absolutely necessary if our republic was going to succeed.
Let me give you this. You know, folks, one of our first school books, if not the very, very first, was the King James Holy Bible. Number two, people like Paul Revere, he was, guess what? He might have been a smithy or some whatever, but he was also a pastor. Guess what? They used to hold church in the Capitol building every week. The separation of church and state was for one reason that they talk about, why it's not in the Constitution. It was to just simply stop from having a state-run church, not for stopping Christianity. It was, that statement was meant to empower Christianity and not take away from it. Back to you, Michael. You got about 3 minutes.
Yeah, and if you go back to even before the founding of the federal government, the early colonies, oftentimes they would make in their laws, they would take just huge portions of biblical text and put it right into the statutes for the laws for the colonies. This nation was founded by believers, for believers. It was supposed to be a shining city on the hill, and it has taken the gospel all over the world. But now our nation is changing, our culture is changing, and we've got to fight to try to take it back. And so please pray for me, those that are listening that know me. Pray that my wife and I would make the correct decision about whether to run for Congress here in Idaho or not. And I would encourage people all over the country to be praying about running for office, not only on the federal level, but on the state level, the local level, wherever we can influence the culture, make decisions, you know, try to turn things around, sound the alarm, sound the warning message, preach about abortion and the gay agenda and all these things, because time is running out. But, you know, we need to try to fight for America, try to preach repentance and turn this country in a positive direction while we still can.
Yeah, amen. And time is short, folks. Time is short. I believe with my heart of hearts that America, or maybe even Babylon, if you will, America got a chance with President Trump, as did the world. But I also believe that if we don't stand up and do our part, then it will be for nothing. And so we need to do that. Even if there isn't a chance that it can save us from judgment, it's still the right thing to preach about the wrong things. Amen. Back to you. You got about a minute and we're out of here.
Yeah, well, Pastor Dan, thank you so much for having me on today. My wife and I, we believe that these are the last days. These are the end times. But, you know, a lot of people focus on the bad things, but also we believe this is going to be the greatest hour for the church, that we believe the greatest harvest of souls in the history of the world is coming. So God's going to do great things, and he can do great things through each one of us. You know, just there's with God, there's nothing that's impossible. All things are possible for him who believes, it says in the book of Mark. And so we need to step out in faith. And even though things are going to get crazier and darker and this world's going to go crazy, we need to try to step out and be all that we can be, because life is like a coin. You can spend it any way you want, but you can only spend it once. Let's spend it for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah.
Amen. And by the way, folks, that scripture he's talking about is Mark 9:23. I know it well because it's one of my wife's favorite scriptures. Well, thanks for being on with me, Michael. I really appreciate you. I appreciate really what you do. And I'm with you, brother, no matter what path you choose, but you just keep up the good work. And tell your wife, I really like all those prophecies on her website or blog spot site, whatever it is, and to keep sharing those. Anyway, you be blessed, brother.
Thank you so much, Pastor Dan.
Okay. All right, folks, that was Michael Snyder. Economic Collapse Blog is the easiest way to find him, but he also has the most important thing. And he has does video and TV and everything, and he's praying about standing up for this country and making a sacrifice and going to Washington. Art Summit, those you folks that are hearing my voice, you need to do all you can be for Yeshua HaMashiach. It's not your life. It's his life. And if you can't, then pray about supporting people that are doing it. You know, think about it when you give your money to a mega church. What are they doing to better society? What are they doing to save? I mean, as a whole, look at the money they have. What are they doing? You know, think about it. No, don't think about it. Pray about it. As with all things, pray, pray, pray. Anyway, we love you folks. Remember, Memorial Weekend is here upon us. Remember the people that died before you. I know Yeshua said, let the dead bury the dead, but think about that. As you go out to the graves and you see all the American flags, you know, think about what those soldiers died for, and can't you make a sacrifice also? Well, we got to get out of here. Remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I really mean pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and he is gracious to you, and he gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.